Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Hey everybody, it's me, Titi Torres, and make sure you check out my latest interview with DaBaby on Tap In with Titi, Hot 97's newest podcast.
Tap In with Titi Torres.
It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, quiet. Yo, Rich, we trying to do it.
I didn't know we was live.
Yo, man, this is Ebro Laura Rosenberg. Our guy Rich Clive is on the show. Yo, I'm sure his family's tuned in. Shout out to the girls. You know what I'm saying? The ladies in the house that actually are the boss of this man.
That's right.
Listen, step close to the mic.
Sorry, bro. It's my first time.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm happy to see you.
It's not your first time, though.
No, it's actually probably like
second or third time. Yeah. You're a regular.
I've also come up here over the last 15 years with multiple artists.
I was going to go there. Meek Mill, Wale. Who else?
Mark Ronson, here with. J. Cole, I came up here with.
J. Cole, early. Yeah. Early.
Saigon.
He hates Mark.
You know how long I've been doing that? Yeah. That I came up here with Saigon?
Yeah.
Talk about that part of transitioning from being in music and managing music to now managing an act. You're Kevin Durant's manager?
I'm his manager, but we have a business we built together, yeah. I mean, it's all the same for me. I've realized it now more. 5-6 years ago, I thought of it as the fact that I transitioned 10 years ago from the music business to sports. What I realize now is just that I like being around incredibly talented people that are the best at what they do, people that have like mastered and honed their craft. And then I think that's my skill. I think I know how to build enterprise around people like that. I know how to support them. And there's really never been a limit to what I'll do as a manager. And I take pride in that role. But in turn, I gravitate towards people that are the best at what they do. And I'm fortunate that I've got to work with a lot of those people. The cool thing, though, is, and what I'm building in sports now with Boardroom is coming from 10, 15 years and working in music. Because the culture of hip-hop when I started was the creator economy, which is like a buzzword in business now. But basically, here's Puff Daddy, here's Russell Simmons, here's Jay-Z, and here's an entire enterprise of economy around them. And in sports, when I started transitioning in, LeBron had begun doing that, took the blueprint that he saw from hip hop, built his own. And obviously that trickle effect, or whatever that verbiage is, that went to Kevin.
Ripple effect.
What is it? Ripple effect?
Maybe it's ripple. Yeah.
I do that a lot. Like, I know what the word is, but I say
triple
it wrong.
Triple ripples.
But
close.
No one corrects
you were almost
me.
There. Well, no, he said trickle. You were almost confusing trickle down.
Trickle down.
With ripple out. Ripples go
out.
I do that
a lot.
Down.
I do that a lot. Still trickle
works.
Effect.
Either
all right.
One works.
It worked, right? Yes. Is that this next generation, which was like KD and Steph, and then now it's a pandemic,
Moran,
right? Everybody, which was that like, yeah, I want my own business. I want my own enterprise. And I think that just aligned with where I was in my life because I wanted the same thing. And then I think my music experience was really crucial in how I went about building that next iteration of what KD and I were going
to
do.
So before we get to what Boardroom is, because it's a podcast
it's a full think Hypebeast Complex, Vanity Fair.
So it's a media platform.
It's a full media brand, media platform.
Okay, so
yeah.
we're gonna get to that, but I want to focus on the enterprise around talented humans part
of
what
you're
saying.
Let's do that one.
Because in there, that talented human, and I'm doing this for people watching, right?
Yep.
Who are like, I'm talented, I want a manager. I need I create great, but I need somebody to help me build out my business. In there, though, that individual has to want to learn and engage in understanding what you as the person identifying the opportunity is trying to do.
Yeah.
Talk about that, like really drilling down, like KD plays basketball. But how did he know what he wanted? Did you know what he needed?
Yep.
Was it a little bit of both?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And I think in general, especially when I talk to young athletes or young artists, it's important to like do that self-assessment on yourself to make sure that what you're saying you want is really what you want, right? And that when you say things like, I want to build equity, I want to build a portfolio, that you really understand what it is you're saying, right? So for me, every time I talk to a young artist or athlete, I think it's first understanding simply what they want, what they envision for themselves. What was their North Star? What is it when they sit back? Like, don't be embarrassed saying it out loud. What do you want? Like, did you see yourself on magazine covers? You want to be a billionaire? You want to have the biggest foundation in your hometown and nothing else? You just want to save your money and chill? Because I got a lot of respect for that too.
Right.
But you got to be aware of what you want. And then also, I think in the instance of Kevin, there was an understanding of like, okay, I am your manager, but he knew I had real feelings about what I wanted. And part of that kind of respect was like, if we're going to do this, because that was a big jump for me. If we're going to do this, I can manage you all day. I pride in my skills as a manager. But in terms of building a business and an enterprise, it had to be like, do you want this? Do you want what I want? Like, we're not going to be aligned on everything. But if we see like a North Star for ourselves that we're aligned on, then let's start this. And I think that's how I approach every conversation. Because I think like the society we're in now, people feel like they got to speed up and get rich, speed up and build your unicorn company, like speed up and call yourself an entrepreneur. And if you're an athlete and you're making an incredible fixed income and you have to put so much time and effort into your craft, you have to look long game and understand like what you're balancing, like what do you want to take on? Because it's not just about like, let me find a manager, insert plan here and we can do it. Like that would be taking away from what Maverick and Rich Paul and Randy did, right? Like you can just put somebody next to someone, or that'd be taking away from what I've been able to do, to think like, yo, I want that. I want to build equity. But everyone can do it. Their example of it, like their version of what they can build. And I think that's the first step for all these guys and all these women that are starting in their business careers, complementary to sports, is to really understand what it is you want. Or if you don't know yet, just take your time.
And want doesn't equal happiness. Correct?
It should.
Some people think I want this, and then they get there and they're like, I don't want that.
Well,
don't
but really want because there's a certain level of commitment and a certain level of work that you have to do in order to build what I believe is different from just taking sponsorship deals and, you know, and being the face of a product. That's a business. That's transactional. And that's how you make money and build your profile. And I think that allows you to see what you want. But ultimately, in order to build a business, like, you're going to have to give something into it. You can't just tell your manager, like, build me an enterprise. Like, this is what we do. There's different versions, though. Like, Shaq may just, you know, you bring a deal to Shaq, and if the money's right, Shaq may want to do it. KD's the opposite of that. You know, he thinks way cerebral about almost everything in life. And I think we now look at every move we make as, like, where it plays into what we did before, what we're trying to do in the future. And I definitely learned that from being around Jay. And, you know, because that whole strategy and thought process with every decision playing a part of a bigger plan, you know, he's a master at.
Jay-Z, that is.
No, my friend Jay, he lives on 84th in Amsterdam.
Just trying to clarify. Who did you make it prior to the successes you had with KD? Who would you say you made it the furthest with in hip-hop? That relationship really sort of made you guys the most money, best experience, you know, learning, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that whole experience, I think there's two eras. Like, era one was when I was dropped out of college. I was a bookie and I was scrambling and hustling. And that led me to like being a music supervisor. I had no business doing that. And I built up a catalog of unsigned artists and, you know, people from Raucous and Broken Soul. I mean, random bands and artists in New York. And that was one era. And I met Mark Ronson. And then that got me to Wale and Amy Winehouse. And we had that studio in downtown New York. But as soon as I met Jay, it was like phase two. And then we went into Fade to Black. And then we moved my business over to Roc Nation.
You mean the movie Fade to Black?
Yeah.
What, and your exact role?
I was a producer in that.
And so what did you do for that? By the way, it's an incredible movie.
I was really tight with John Manili. And he was Jay's manager at the time, and Jay, I got to know through John, and I was working at Radical Media right down the block from here, consulting for them. I always had these consulting gigs. That was my hustle when I was really young. And
it's a good hustle.
It is a good hustle. And John let me stay in his office. He was a real entrepreneur in that, like, he saw young people and was like, go in this back room and something great will come out of this. And I started just scoring and finding tracks and building a community of artists around Radical that were helping them bring a music strategy to everything they did. It was simple as that. And I wanted to be in sports. I was like, what am I even doing here? But I never looked at it that way. Like, the energy I got around hip hop was the same energy I felt that I was going to get being around sports. I used to stare at the front row at the Knick game, like stare at it when I was a kid. Just like, who are these people? How'd they get this seat? How do they all know each other?
By the way, do you still ever wonder that? Because like,
no, because I'm sitting there.
No, but the funny thing is you're one of the few people who, when fans watch, know why you're sitting there. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's Rich. He's Kevin Durant's agent and partner. He's in the front row. But when you look at a game at Oracle, for example,
yeah,
you know, when they play at the Warriors game, you're talking about just tech giants,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Does it still sort of blow your mind sometimes, the people that you're around?
Because you're,
well, yeah,
or do you know them? Yeah.
Well, I will say it all blows my mind. Like, I was at, this is what I wanted to do. Like, I'm not where I want to be, but this is what I wanted to do. So in terms of, like, being able to come up to Hot 97, just because I work in this world, right? Being able to sit at front row at a basketball game or go to the Miami Grand Prix and dap up Tom Brady. Like, I'm not unappreciative. I grinded. You guys know me 25 years. Like, so I was doing this at 20 years old, sneaking into clubs to get Lior Cohen's email address. I've been doing this. So when I'm there, I'm still like, this is exactly what I was working for. But now I'm hungrier and I want to build more. But I still am enamored by it. I know everyone sitting on front row. And then when I leave, I call my wife like, yo, it was crazy. I was talking to everyone. I'll never lose that. I'll never lose that.
And she's still excited to hear your stories when you come
No.
home. I was going to say, because your wife, I know your wife, and she's like,
she's tired of all my shit.
Yo, bro, shut the fuck up, bro.
I've done 70 podcasts for Boardroom, for the network.
She's never heard one.
No, one, half of one. Sure, she's like, you talk all day. Like, I got to listen to you when you're not here in my headphones.
Yo, his wife's the best, man. She's the best.
So, Rich, I'm on the boardroom.com right now, boardroom.tv.
Yeah.
Gary V is on the digital cover, what it looks like, your digital magazine.
Yes.
It's your first one, right?
First one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us about that, the digital issues, yep, and how that's rolling out.
Yep. So when Katie and I went on our own, the first thing we did was start investing in venture and early stage technology, and it triggered everything for me.
Investing in venture.
Yes. So early stage technology companies, early stage businesses that we were getting access to and meeting founders and meeting different VCs with great pipelines of deals when we were in the Bay.
Got it.
And we took pride in being an investor that didn't just say, hey, it's KD. If you want your brand marketed, like, that was the old world. We were like, we're investors. You're not going to get anything from KD. You're going to get our organization as strategic investors. And we work for it. So other founders introduced us to other founders. What I started to realize,
we're not just giving money and hoping we get a return. Like, if we're invested, we want to be in here making sure that this is successful.
If I invest in a consumer brand, a fintech company, they say, you know what, you know anybody, a voice in New York City, got a big presence, got radio access, Ebro, I'm going to connect you to Ebro. It could be that. It could be, here's a plan for how I think you should position your business. Here's the right way to roll it out in, like, social orbit. Anything that I could do, invite them to dinner with me, bring them to the game with me, and start to see how that access started to benefit them. What I wish I had, this was 5 years ago, was a way to storytell around these brands. And that was the genesis of Boardroom. Was I did not graduate school. Nobody connected me to anybody. And somehow I'm exactly where I wanted to be in sports. And if young people don't realize that the way to get into this industry, sports, music, anything in this culture that we're all, like, fortunate to be a part of, it's not going to law school to be an agent or, like, grinding up the ladder at a team or a league, which is a plan. But for people like us, there's so many non-traditional entry points into this business. So my first thing was, like, let's create a platform that's our voice that embodies who we are, which is like this hybrid of business, culture, sport, music. And to me, it was what Hypebeast and Complex and these companies did 20 years ago with the fuel of hip hop. They built these platforms. Mm-hmm. We can't build it in the same way as 15 years ago. So my mindset from the beginning was like, we're going to build this slowly, grow it through every channel, social, web, app, all of the experience. And then when it's time to put my foot on the gas and we built the brand, we're going to have something special. And it's going to include NFT and experience and all the different things that we're going to curate that represent this, a la Hypebeast or Vanity Fair. And now we have a full editorial team, full video department, full social team, experience, newsletter, pod. KD and I each have a pod and a show, but those are just shows on the network. But, you know, we have a newsletter comes out every day, and it's all on boardroom.tv. And to me, it fully represents what our vision was. And that's the best feeling. Again, we're not there. Like, we're not done. I want to build this thing as big as I can go. And I see a whole vision for how it works with what KD and I are doing in film and TV, how it works with venture, and it all plays into this platform at the center. And Gary Vee, I think, leading into this conference this weekend, he's doing a big conference, VCon. Right? You know, he's the first entrepreneur on the cover. And I think it was more of like a way to say, look, we all have known of Gary Vee in different ways. You may have heard him pre-pandemic on the internet and thought, is this even real? Like, what is this? And then during the pandemic, it was like, damn, this shit is real. This guy's at the forefront of everything, NFT, collectible, trading card. But in reality, he's got close to a $1 billion business. And it was like, this is somebody that we were saying, this is who you really got to respect as an entrepreneur in this business. However you see him getting into it, he's here. And, you know, we're going to keep doing these once a month and keep creating new content, new experiences, signing new collaborators. And it's really exciting because of all the things we do, you know, managing Kevin was a bucket list thing, like managing one of the greatest athletes in the world and investing in venture. I learned on the job and fortunately did well. But everyone needs something that's theirs that you built. You know, when you look at all the people we look up to, they have a million things going on, but there's one thing in the center.
They have something that's
there. And for me, that's what Boardroom is for KD and I right now. And it's really exciting.
And just before we transition our Boardroom, I think.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I followed it since you launched it, and I think that you're doing a great job of making it specific to the name.
Mm-hmm.
Boardroom, a place where people gather to talk about ideas, business, yep. Grow business, pitch new businesses, yep. Learn about new, like it all ties back into what a
100%,
boardroom. So man. It's on brand, and I say that for the audience that might not necessarily, the word may not mean anything to them. To know that it is a place where they could go and learn some things about business.
Yep, and that's a good point because the idea was that the boardroom looks different now. You know, I think people, you know, theoretically it was like scared of the boardroom. The boardroom is where the suits are. When now the boardroom is where a diverse group of entrepreneurs and executives in sweatpants are. And we're talking music, we're talking fashion, we're talking crypto, blockchain, and it's mainstream. And that conversation has been driven and rooted in sport and hip hop. And that's what this platform's about.
Now, do you anticipate that you'll be able to, your office in the city,
mm-hmm.
do you anticipate that over the next many years, you and Kevin will be spending all of your time
the
in New York City?
The boardroom stays in and around Brooklyn and New York City.
Do you think that
you guys
will be staying around the New York area for a long time?
I am never going anywhere personally. You know that.
This has always been your base.
I'm New York.
You were bi-coastal though.
But yeah, you were traveling a lot though. Katie was out there.
I mean, you can be a New Yorker and be a hustler. I was grinding, yeah, but sure. I lived here. Like,
God, you must have gotten so sick of that.
He's trying to dance around getting to. Is Katie staying?
Kevin's sticking around, right?
Time.
I mean, he extended. He's sticking around.
Yeah,
here,
he signed
right?
a contract. But regardless, what I'm saying to you is that at this point in my life, I'm 45 years old. I have 40 some odd employees. The fabric of what I do and our business is New York. I don't work as well in any other city. Nothing that comes out of my mouth hits as hard as that it does when I'm in New York City.
It hits different here is what you're saying.
And for the audience too is even though KD is a Brooklyn Net is the face of the franchise and leadership over there in many ways, you sir maintain that you're still a Knicks fan.
Yeah, but... Yes, I'm a Knicks fan in that, like, I mean, I was born into it. I've had so much heartache and excitement around that organization and that team and those players. Like, the fact that some of these guys that I grew up watching have become friends of mine, again, another, like, bucket list thing, right? But it doesn't take away from the fact that KD supersedes all that. So when he was in
So you're with me now. You're a Nets fan like me.
Yeah,
Brooklyn Nets, baby.
Yeah, but 100% I am. But at the same time, I was able to... To balance being a Warrior fan and a Knicks fan, I was able to balance being a Thunder fan and a Knicks fan.
Same way I balance being a Nets fan and a Laker fan. See, it happens,
yes.
Man. When you evolve in life, man.
Except his makes sense, but yeah, exactly.
No, but no.
Yours makes sense. Ebro's.
I have my local team, which is my Brooklyn
sense
Nets
too. Actually,
I live in New York.
Yeah,
and I was born into being. My dad was a Laker fan. I was 1980. I'm 5 years old. Like,
and look, this year you cursed them both.
And by the way, when does this come into to play, right? It comes into play when they play each other.
Right.
And I'm obviously going to root for my boy when they're playing. But outside of that, like, I want both teams to do well. I love Leon and Wes. Like, I love R.J. Barrett. I'm friends with Julius. I want the Knicks to do well.
Would it have made you really happy had KD decided he wanted to go to New York or had him and Kyrie?
This is like a four-year-old question.
I understand, but listen, this is where we still are.
No, it's where you still are.
Well, no. Listen, things have been happening in Brooklyn that create a lot of conversation about the way the whole thing's played out.
Yeah,
there are question marks about the future of what's happening. Is Ben Simmons ever going to play? Is Kyrie going to be consistently showing up every single season? And if he's not, and if because the Nets are going to be forced to make a decision about Kyrie Irving. And
this year, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the conversation is, if he demands an extension, they look crazy if they give it to him, potentially, because he hasn't been that available for them. And do they want to be in bed with him for the next 5 years? And if they don't, does that mean that Kevin Durant no longer wants to be there? Because are Kyrie and KD attached at the hip?
Why don't you talk about that with Michael Kay this afternoon?
Those are relevant. Let me tell
you something that happens in the NBA. When you don't win a championship, and sometimes even when you win a championship, the entire summer is built around all of this.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. And then when the dust settles, everything somehow resets and gets back in position. And
we got to play ball.
And we got to play ball. And that's like part of what you have to do on the other half of your job, and I get it. But I also now know, right, because I have now been doing this for 10 years, and I'd say 7 of the 10 summers, Kevin has been
part of conversation.
Part of a conversation, because right. We signed one-year deals when we were in the Bay. And you just realize, like, and it's crazy, because I used to joke about this when I worked at Roc Nation. I'd be, like, reading something in allhiphop.com, and it'd be like Jay-Z in Club Brawl in China. And I'd be like, I just saw him in the hallway, though. Shit, I still believe it because I read it. You know what I'm saying? But like, right. I knew it wasn't true.
Some of it is clickbait.
I knew it wasn't true. So right. When I look at this stuff now, I can only go off of what I know and what I hear and what I see. I understand how confusing the constant conversation is. But in reality, they lost. So they got to look at their team. We all know that Kyrie is an elite, skilled basketball
Maybe
player.
Maybe as talented a player as there is in the league. He's up there.
Yeah. And honestly, the end of the day, we're trying to win championships. So, like, when the dust settles, it focuses on basketball.
KD does seem like he's settled in, though, to really being the leader of this team.
I feel like he loves Brooklyn.
And he really seems like he owns it now. Like, when you see him at pressers, for example,
yeah,
the way he talks about things his teammates say and do, the way he handled Kyrie, because he had to do a lot of when Kyrie's not there, KD has to deal with the brunt of everything. It seems like he really started owning being the guy. Do you think that's true, that he's really kind of leaned into that?
I think he's always leaned into it, in my opinion, and people could disagree. I think that, you know, this is something I drive home when I talk to partners of ours, and I talk to a Nike or I talk to any brand that we work with, is that you got to get out of thinking that every iconic superstar has a script that they have to go by, or that they all look and sound the same, or that everyone's strategy of leading is the same. I think KD's always been comfortable being the guy because he's always been the guy. But I think that at different points in his life, he had different styles of leading.
And different versions.
And he knows how to do it. But he's
also had to learn and evolve like any human being.
Yeah, and he's also comfortable in his own job. And I think one of the things that I've learned to understand better, and I think about it as it relates to how I am in my office with the people that work with me, is sometimes you got to just lead by example, period. I know it's cliche, but just do it, because everyone's not going to want to hear what you have to say. There's so many different variables, especially over the last 2 years with like things that nobody had a real answer for.
A bubble, a COVID, or this, or that.
Yeah, all of it. All of it, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, I think what you're seeing is that the dude just plays ball. You know, I saw what Shaq said yesterday, like, you've accomplished nothing since you left, but like, what are we talking about? The guy rehabbed from an Achilles injury for a year, came back, play at an all-time high level.
Well, he was a half a shoe size from the finals.
Yeah, and also like, he rehabbed from an Achilles injury to be the best player in the league
back
again.
To not give him credit for that, because there was no guarantee KD was ever going to be the same again, and he's at the exact same level he was at prior.
Yeah.
It's pretty
better,
amazing.
Smarter, yeah.
Listen, you know, people have short memory.
Yeah.
Also, people, you know, the playoffs were tough. You know what I'm saying? Like the Celtics, his Celtics, team I hate the most in the league, were tough on the Brooklyn Nets and exposed a level of toughness that was missing in defense and other things, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't play a lot. Like, we could go down the whole sports thing. But when it comes back around, it does seem like KD wants to be in Brooklyn. It does seem like Kyrie wants to be in Brooklyn. Those variables of Kyrie's availability, Ben Simmons. Look, when you have Joe Harris back and you have some of their other parts back to spread the floor, you're looking at a different Brooklyn Nets team than you saw in the playoffs.
I feel really good about the future, to be honest. Yeah. I do. I think you just got to be okay with tumultuous seasons and use all this stuff and channel this thing and figure it out. And
what, they played 25 games together this year, Kyrie and KD?
Yeah, something. They might have played that over the last 2 years. It's not many games.
And by the way, right before the series, Vegas had them winning the championship. Everyone in New York thought we were going on a run. It was a bad series.
We had a whole conversation with Stephen A. where at the beginning of the season, it was all Brooklyn Nets of the team.
You know, that's the talent they have on paper. Right. And then the Harden trade happened, which was like, you know, an interesting thing because they moved some pieces who turned out to be really good players and Jared Allen. And Harden has now... Yo, Harden had been the guy. It made sense at the time, but now things, you look back at it and you go, was that really the best move? So it's complicated. But I mean, for KD, I just think it would be amazing for KD to get this championship because I don't like the narrative. The narrative of him being a passenger in Golden State is one of the stupidest. To me, it makes no sense because Steph, Klay, and Draymond were the vocal front face of that team. But Kevin Durant was the best player on that team when he was on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how people act like, I understand that there was feelings around him leaving OKC, the if you can't beat him, join him. I get that. But once he went there, all he did was perform. Yeah. So I would love to see him get one in Brooklyn to sort of dead that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I just want him to get one in Brooklyn. You know, I hear you. I hear you. Look, I joke with Kevin a lot too because there's some fan instincts that I have, right? Which is, I think, what makes it fun. I'm not cynical about it. I'm like, yo, we got to win one. You know, you're like, I get in that same excitement too. He's really good at understanding that, like, when it all settles, like, the truth always seems to, like, be so evident. And I hear what you're saying. The narrative is just done by antagonists. The reality is he won two finals MVPs. His teammates love him. He loved his teammates. If he didn't get hurt, they may have won a third. It was as flawless of a run as possible. And he performed at an elite high level. So when it's all said and done, that is really what will be remembered. But
agreed.
It is, you know, that part of it is what it is.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live. June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I saw a TikTok, whatever, some girl was talking about Kevin Durant on TikTok, and it was about how much money he makes basketball versus otherwise. Is it true that at this point is where he is in his business, that he makes more money outside of basketball with sponsorships and investments and these things than he does playing sports?
That'd be tough to answer. Like, it's not like here's our checking account from off the court. Here's our checking account from on the court. A lot of it is in equity and a lot of it is in value of an enterprise.
And that's what she was saying too, though.
Yeah, because like that. Our entire business, 35V, which owns our venture, which owns, you know, we own a piece of a MLS team. We own a piece of a women's soccer team. We have Boardroom, the platform. We have a few other TV and film projects. All
the venture,
of that,
the tech stuff,
all the tech all stuff. The, yeah. But then he also has his sponsorship deals and, you know, and his on court. So, you know, I don't know exactly what it is. I hope.
But doing very well.
He's doing well. But I think most importantly is he's building something that his grandkids can own, you know, that my grandkids can own, that, you know, that we love doing. To me, that's the exciting part. Like, I don't have an exit, you know.
Well, but that's why I bring it up, too, because, you know, I think we live in this day and age where players have so much influence over their future if they manage it correctly, you know what I mean? And have a vision and have investments and have smart people around them to figure out a way to, as you pointed out earlier in the conversation, take their passions and interests and find and create, you know, revenue opportunities out of them and revenue streams out of them.
Yep.
But I just wanted to point that out because I don't think when we talk about athletes who are very successful, you hear, you know, obviously we've heard Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan and, you know, Mayweathers and
LeBron,
and I'm missing tons of names, but Kevin Durant isn't a name while he's revered on the court, talked about his physical attributes and his acumen as a basketball player. Sitting here talking to you today, we're hearing another layer to whom Kevin Durant is that I don't think is often talked about in the mainstream.
Well, I mean, I think if you dug like any Forbes
list. What I'm saying, you'd have to go look.
No, any Forbes list that comes out, any New York Times article that will reference other athletes with enterprise mention Kevin. I think in the tech space, Kevin was probably the most notable athlete to really make an impact and make a dent in that space and do it in a real organic, like, really traditional way. Like, we really invested. Kevin did not offer services for equity. We really built a venture business. I think just because also you're talking about Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, you know, it's really just what it is. But, you know, I think very, very, very close below that is the empire we're building. And in some ways, I think it stands next to some of the things they're doing. But these guys are also, you know, one of ones that have set the
trailblaze for us. He should be. I'm just saying that for the person watching this conversation, talking about Kevin Durant's entrepreneurial interests and venture, I don't think has been
the idea that Kevin owns a full media business, scripted and non-scripted, a digital media platform, NFT distribution, two sports teams, a venture fund, e-commerce platform that we partner with Steve Stout on. You know, we have a ton of, I think the people that need to know, and I think that, you know, that's what I meant about Boardroom, is that, like, for us, you got to have a flag. You got to carry something. You know, I could have just managed Kevin. We could have simplified it. It could have been four or five of us. I would have been in here with my backpack. Could have went back to bed after this interview, moved to Orange County, California when I was done with a nice bit of savings.
You wouldn't have done that.
No. I wanted to build a monster.
It sounded kind of appealing, though.
Yeah, but the Orange County part is the only part I'm calling bullshit on. He's not moving to Orange County.
Is there any appeal to you, though, if you had just taken the simple route? Because let's be honest, Rich, you'd still be rich. You'd still be Gucci.
You mean Rich Kleiman?
No, he'd be Rich Kleiman, and he'd be rich also.
But listen, you're wired one way. When I used to, any present that somebody got me as a kid, a toy, this sounds fucked up.
You sold it and got something else, didn't you?
I resold it in 2 seconds.
You're a psychopath.
I was a bookie from 18 to 21, and I had three, four different colleges sending me money. I had people collecting for me. I had security that ran clubs in Boston. I could never have just been an agent and collected commission and chilled. I wouldn't have done it.
This is not who you are.
And I needed to build something. This is fun. I love this. I absolutely love this. It's like my wife and kids, this.
What did you say to Tom Brady?
There's one other thing too, but I can't say that, you know.
You can't?
Well, what else?
Nah. You saw Kevin's Letterman clip?
No. New one?
Laura, you gotta watch it.
Oh, that he's on the new season of
My Next Guest.
My Next Guest is?
Yeah, you should watch it.
Introduction? I saw the headline about what he talked about.
You guys should watch it. I'm shocked you guys didn't watch it.
Kevin Durant, David Letterman. Come on, you guys.
I'm shocked.
In the meantime, what'd you say to Tom Brady? Do you just a quick
I'm friendly
little
with him.
Oh, really?
No, and yeah.
Is he a cool dude? I'm curious.
Yes. But you guys know, like, you guys are two really close friends of mine. You were at my birthday. I when I had $0, I had a big network.
Right.
Kevin Durant gets high, talks about weed with David Letterman.
We'll do that on the next show. But I'm just saying, you know, like, so that kind of stuff, I was, you know, you've seen me in clubs in New York for 20 years. We've known each other, guys. Uh-huh. So that we all know everybody. That's what New Yorkers who hustle do. It's like, people are like, how do you take a picture with him? I'm like,
honestly, not Tom. Tom Brady is, bumping into Tom Brady, I would say, is actually a different place than I've regularly been in. I'm not.
You're at wrestling matches.
I've never seen him there.
You could have went to the Grand Prix too. I tell him this all the time. No. I call him sometimes to remind him who he is. Am I not a hype man for you?
No, you are. You're very, I greatly appreciate it too. But
the problem is he's socially awkward. He doesn't really want to be outside. And then when he does
everybody, that's why I can talk to everyone, because everyone's socially awkward. Right, and I'm one of the only people that isn't. So when I go to these rooms,
you're very good.
I'm like, I'll talk to anybody. Period. And you know that. You're like that sometimes. Yeah, you're like that.
He's socially awkward.
I'm socially awkward, but once I'm out, I'm on.
You're not socially awkward. You're just socially,
I don't like
you're socially picky.
Yeah, okay. I'm into it.
You're being very generous.
Well, I like him.
Well, me too. But he's very socially awkward. Like, even at your party, Ebro was gone. He was in another room. Then when by the time I went to look for him, he was already gone.
Well, but that was it didn't count because it was COVID era, and I still had my mask on. Everybody else didn't.
Yeah, you were the only dude.
Me and my girl were kind of the only ones still in our masks, like, wow, I'm not quite sure.
I do remember that.
I'm not quite sure yet.
That is true. That is true. But I remember I was like, hey, we got to go make sure. I said to Natalie, I'm like, we got to go see Ebro before him and Jazz leave. We turned around. I was like, it's too late. It's already happened.
But to your credit, you came and you know your own style. So you said hello to me and we spent 5-10 solid minutes early.
Oh, chilling. Boom. Yeah. I got there early. For sure.
Early's the new move.
I'm the king of early.
Early's the new move. And in general, everything starts too late, man. Why does everything start so late? It's dad talk.
And you run a business now, and you got an office of people, and you got to show up.
Yeah, I'll go out a little bit, but like during Metball Week, it was the first time I ever got invited to some like real shit. I was excited. I was gonna get dressed up and stuff. Shit starts 12:00, 1:00 in the morning.
Like, nah, bro.
No, it's you know what else it is too. It's the one thing that LA has right that New York doesn't
have. Yeah,
They start early because their whole life has to be early because they live on East Coast time.
Well, the bars close,
and they're behind us.
Everything closes early. Everyone's out.
They're 3 hours late. They're always 3 hours late.
Right. So, but they have that, or like they love Sunday brunch for a party day. I love that too.
Me too.
I want to be done partying by
Bro,
8:00 at night.
Brunch is. I did that over NBA All-Star Weekend with Coinbase. I threw a 12 to 4.
The best.
What do you do?
Drunk at 4. You're eating dinner at 6. You're asleep at 8. That's a night.
And if you want to go back out, that's fine.
You can go back. If you want to be crazy, go ahead. Go back out.
If you want to be crazy. Kevin Durant smoking weed and talking about with David Letterman. I know it's probably gonna get a lot of coverage. But people smoking weed now is not, is that a big, I mean.
No, it's not a big deal.
It's not a thing.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And honestly.
Pain management,
anxiety.
You know, whatever, sleep aid.
In lieu of drinking, how about in lieu of drinking?
That's right.
Yes.
And driving, or in lieu of drinking and going out. How about like very responsibly smoking, mentally feeling a bit more relaxed, physically taking the edge off, getting a good night's sleep, a good meal. I'm all for it.
This is one of my favorite stories in sports. Was a friend of mine was the he helped with medicinal use products for the Washington football team several years ago.
That sounds like a drug dealer, dog. That, what do you mean he helped with medicinal use?
Yo, for the are you an op or what? I'm trying to say it discreetly.
Oh, so I thought you was really saying.
No. I'm saying.
Oh,
well,
no.
He's also caping for the commies too, the Washington Commies.
So listen, so my boy would help.
Yeah, well, I don't like that team, so I'm like, whatever.
Right? My boy would help players out in that way. And one time we were there, he was like, "You want to come with me? I'm going to go see so and so." And I said, "Hey, sure. I'm a fan of the Commies." So I said, "Sure, let's go." And the player was enjoying some marijuana. This is mid-season. And I said to him, I was like, wow, she's just like smoking weed during the season? And he was like, bro, if I get a DUI walking from my kitchen to the living room, I deserve it.
Yeah.
And I was like, at that point, I was like, oh, you're a way smarter athlete to stay home and smoke weed than go out and party.
Yeah. And what about these guys can't even get themselves like damn near stand up straight till Saturday night before the game. So,
right.
You know, I think that's fine. By the way, you call them the Commies? That is not a good nickname, bro.
That's what they're calling.
I'm mocking. No. He's
that's
mocking.
Like communists call each other that's themselves right. Commies.
He's mocking me by calling them the Commies. I'm just owning the insult. We are the Commanders, okay? By the way, don't talk too much trash because your partner is a Commander's defender as well.
Yeah, he loves them.
Loves them.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
But they should have went with Washington football team.
Agreed. Yes, we all agree.
I wish you could have gotten that done. I was trying to tell everyone who was
listening. Washington football team was great.
We did tell them that, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, we did tell them that. I just want to say something. I think this show, and you guys have incredible ratings, and I know people know you, but I still think underappreciated. I think all of your guys' dynamic is incredible. I think you guys are stars. You guys, truthfully, the year from September to May of post-pandemic – I've told you this multiple times. Very therapeutic listening to all you guys with me and my family during that period.
You get
very deep sometimes. Sometimes a little serious. And I told you when that happens that everything you're saying is straight on because I respect you so much, but I'm like, damn, I want to laugh this morning. And then, you know.
Believe me, we try.
He does. He tries.
And then I try, and then he goes, Rosenberg always wants to make it jokes.
Yeah, and I want to do a ride or die. I want to do a ride or die.
Who are we doing a ride or die?
I was thinking about this because it says ride or die chick. I'm not going to do it with my wife. Like, that's insane.
Why?
Because she'll know everything I'm saying is bullshit. Like, as soon as I call, babe, I'm in trouble. She'll be like,
don't say that. Be like, babe, just go, babe, yo.
I was thinking I'd get KD. But we have to change it from ride or die, like,
no, it's just homie. Ride or die. But it could be homie.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You're overthinking it.
Because I don't think he'll come through.
Dude, what if you hit
he'll
him?
He'll be like, yo, just hit me right back
there. Here, go in the other room. Here, I'm going to have Griff, the producer, call your phone.
We're going to do
it right now.
We're going to do it.
It can fail. It can 1,000% be a failure. It's great if it's a failure. It doesn't matter.
The problem is he may not get up since he's in L.
Either way, then he fails. That is what a ride or die is supposed to do.
I got to think of it. Come on, let me think of
that. No, you don't need it. It's better if it's not a crazy scenario. It's like, yo, can you get on a plane tonight? It could just be like, yo, I need you to get on a plane tonight. They're thinking of pulling out of this deal, and I need you in the room. And he could be like, nah, I can't make it. Like, yo, we're losing $20 million. You can't get on a flight? He's like, nah, I'm cool.
You think he'd believe? You don't think you could trick KD if you said you were in trouble? That you actually got, like, if we went traditional ride or die and you hit him with the, like, yo, I got pulled over, I'm in trouble, I can't call my wife, I need you to help me out.
You know what he would say?
Huh?
I would call you, bro.
Oh my God.
Right. Exactly. What about this? Ride or die, boom. Katie picks up the phone and you're like, yo.
You got traded?
No. I wasn't even going there. I was going to say, yo, someone stole all your weed out of my trunk of my car. It said your name on the outside of the package.
I'll be right there. He'd be like, I'll be right there.
No. How much weed?
We got to get out in front of this. We need a plan.
Oh, shit.
Rich Kliman of The Boardroom, theboardroom.tv.
Boardroom.tv.
Right. Or follow him on Instagram.
Forget me. Go to Boardroom.
No, I'm at Boardroom.
Oh, or go to @Boardroom, but Boardroom.tv. And I'm ready to push it like that because I'm proud of it. I think everybody's going to mess with it. It's
very informative.
Thank you.
You have a little bit of everything. Entertainment
and I
right
along.
Now. Yep. I'm looking at 10 NFT collections to know ahead of VCon, and I'm learning a lot right now.
Thank you,
it's
Laura.
It's actually pretty fire.
And thank you.
I follow Boardroom Breakers as well.
The newsletter.
The IG page.
I hate to blow you up, but that was absorbed by Boardroom about a year ago. I hope you're not still following it.
Well, oh, no. What do you mean? What do you mean it's absorbed?
Well, I just brought it all into one account. But yeah. Boardroom Breakers is a newsletter. We'll edit that in post.
Oh, wow. You're right. So that's just part of the Boardroom that I follow. So I just follow Boardroom and see it there.
It's good. We could just keep saying Boardroom this way.
Boardroom. That was the exact thought process.
How do I get a...
Go on boardroom.tv and get this merch, but I'm going to send all of you guys your
own.
Are
you?
Yep. 100% I am. You know I followed through.
We're waiting. I want that. I like that one.
All of you know I followed through. Yeah, I don't go back on my word.
He's definitely a follow through kind of guy. Rich, we love you. Keep doing great.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate all of you.
Yo, and I don't know if we ever formally thanked you for even when you brought KD by the program and if he ever wants to come
honestly,
up and talk again.
Thank him. He wanted to come by.
Well, shout to that guy.
He'll come by again when he's back. He loves you guys.
I want him up here so we can argue about rap again.
Well, I honestly think you should have him up here whenever he wants and you guys want just to talk music.
That's what I said.
His music, you guys know, his music brain is elite.
We need him on Whitish Wednesday.
No, he should be on Whitish Wednesday.
He should be on Whitish Wednesday.
That'll be fun.
Great. We'll play like pop.
Does he know any Whitish?
Is his music game good or is he so hip hop that he don't even know like mainstream white music?
No, he'll know. He's just smart and is aware. He knows.
And by the way,
when are we leaking some of these rap records that we keep hearing about on the internet? The internet talks about his raps.
Yo, wait. Actually, wait.
Is there a plan?
There's a plan.
There's always a plan.
It's always.
All right.
Thanks, Rich.
Give it up to this guy, Rich Kliman, man.
Thank you, guys.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.